Today on Compassion Radio.
Most pastors probably spend, maybe 30% of their message on the actual Word of God, and maybe 70% that is, in a way they would say, is illuminating that,
yeah,
or breaking it apart for us to better understand. We're not doing anything different than that when we are communicating via story, song, drama. In fact, we might actually be more accurate, more specific to the Word of God than a pastor on a Sunday morning here in the U.S.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram spends time with people who live their lives in a missional way, whether it's in a mud hut in remote Africa, a church in war-torn Ukraine, a village in Nepal devastated by an earthquake, or one of the countless Christ-centered ministries in the United States. Bram is there, tirelessly bringing you the life-changing stories of God's love, goodness, and faithfulness. T4 Global is an international training organization working in some of the poorest, hardest-to-reach communities in the world. Now, what they do is they come alongside and empower local indigenous leaders and churches so that they can provide training to their people in order to improve their lives and their communities. I'm Frank Montenegro, and here's part one of a fascinating conversation Bram had with the organization's leader, Ed Weaver.
Friends, welcome to Compassion Radio today. I have the privilege of sitting down right now with an old friend of the ministry named Ed Weaver. Now, Ed Weaver is the CEO now of T4 Global. This organization is one of the premier agencies that is introducing the gospel in an orality setting around the world. And he's focused in a number of countries. He has a staff of about a dozen and a half right here in America, plus a staff about as big as that around the world that is nonstop bringing the gospel to new cultures and new people day after day after day. And I'm proud to have him here to talk about all that. Ed, welcome back to Compassion Radio.
Thank you, Bram. I appreciate the opportunity to continue to talk about getting the gospel to the hard-to-reach areas of the world.
And there are plenty of those. Now, it seems what I've been hearing from many Christian leaders that it's been an extraordinarily difficult year in a lot of fronts. Has it been that way in the way the gospel's reaching out to these countries?
You know, it certainly has, Bram. I mean, I think, you could talk about a lot of different countries this fits into, but it seems like there's more and more impact in terms of, the difficulty that we have in terms of getting the gospel into countries, whether it be political roadblocks, whether it be oppression roadblocks. There's just a lot of different things that are coming up that have been there historically, but seem to be increasing on a regular basis right now.
The countries you work in right now, do you see the opposition happening in pretty much every corner? Or are there certain countries especially that really jump out to you right now as being problematic or resistant politically or spiritually to the gospel coming in?
Well, it seems that things come and go, just like the tide. If you had asked me this 3 years ago, I would have said Myanmar continues to be a difficult place for us to work, even though democratic reforms have been instituted or introduced. Now, Myanmar is one of the easiest countries for us to move about in freely. But we would have laughed if we thought about that would be that easy today, if we look back years ago. Now, India, on the other hand, is becoming increasingly a persecuted country. We hear more and more stories about believers being persecuted, the gospel being resisted, the leadership of the country being vocal about their opposition to Christianity, their desire for it to be a Hindu country by 2020. I mean, there's all sorts of things that are going out there, both you hear them in the news, but you also see the ramifications of it on a very real basis.
And in India,
so that's happening.
In India, you're talking about a country where every major world religion is in the marketplace, much more so even than the
right.
West. And you can't have a trend in India without it becoming a mega trend, because everything is mega in India. So do you see this as being a concerted or a focused effort on one particular party? Or is it some kind of underlying spiritual warfare issue that's just kind of manifesting itself in this generation?
Well, when Modi became prime minister, representing the BJP, it was clear that they had a political agenda to be in opposition against Christianity. And if you'll recall, some of the initial statements from the West were, you know, you've got to be open to, you know, religious freedom. And Modi would, you know, as a way to appeal to the West, would say, absolutely, you're correct. But then when it came to real practices in his country, it almost appeared as if he was turning a blind eye to his friends and cohorts, you know, in the BJP, and kind of winking and saying, hey, go ahead and knock yourself out, in terms of oppressing the Christians in this country. And so we've seen that in some of our programs. We've seen and heard and felt more opposition than we had had in years past. Now, also, people are finding it more difficult to be to get visas to go into the country to do ministry. So we're actually seeing a very aggressive and intentional practice of prohibiting people to enter the country. So that's, but you're right. I mean, that's, you know, that can end up being a mega trend, but right now it seems to be very focused exclusively on South Asia. And so things are happening there that make life more difficult at a alarming rate. And so we're having to create specific strategies on how to deal with that country.
Up to now, what kind of things have you done, or how have you organized your teams as they go into India? What kind of things are they focused on doing specifically in that country to advance the gospel?
Well, a couple of things that we've done over the recent years is certainly we have begun to build more local staff that at least contracts with us to get specific work done so that we don't have to send U.S. citizens over there on a regular basis. Now, that's been part of our strategy overall. As an organization, that's not just unique to India, but it certainly has been intentional there, and we've begun to build that up. Secondly, our pastor development programs are very specifically designed to have disciples making disciples of oral learners. And so we haven't created a ministry that's reliant upon U.S. staff being in the country on a regular basis. So if disciples are making disciples and you've got a movement that's being built locally, then you've got a lot less risk of the ministry going into a downturn as a result of any political statements or positions that are unique to that country. So we've kind of begun to build in a little bit of a buffer or some protection mechanisms to ensure sustainability of the ministry.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us. Here's a word from Bram.
Hi, friends. I've been asked many times over the years about the kind of people who listen to Compassion Radio. I remind friends that we don't have listeners, we have partners. And I mean that. We don't fill our airtime with fluff and useless trivia. We talk about important and sometimes difficult things. When you spend a half hour of your precious time with this ministry, I consider that an amazing gift. Thank you for really hearing us and opening your hearts and minds to the amazing work God is doing in some of the most difficult places on earth. When one of these stories moves you to pray and even support Compassion Radio to keep reporting, going, and giving, well, when that happens, I can't adequately thank you for your incredible generosity. And yes, partnership. Thank you for standing with us and supporting the work we do. We can't do it without you.
If you'd like to partner with Compassion Radio, you can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com. If you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks a lot.
Listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
Most ministry will raise up pastors or literacy programs and develop traditional educational models for getting the truth out there to be debated, understood, and accepted emotionally and mentally. Your ministry, T4 Global, is taking a very unique tact in reaching all those people who are not specifically literate already. So what makes the gospel through orality unique from other traditional missions efforts?
Well, we think that one of the things that has happened is we have unintentionally created a barrier to the gospel, in missions work in general. We believe that we have implied, and never intentionally, but we have implied that you must be literate to know God or for God to know you. And we have said, okay, if you want to be discipled or if you want to grow in leadership, you have to be literate. And so what we've said is, okay, really, at the end of the day, what do we really care about? We care that people know God, they know the character of God, they know His Word. Do they have to be literate in order to know that? No, they don't. As long as they know the information and it's part of their life, their character, the way they live, then that's what we care about. So if we can build in the principles of the Word of God, so if they understand a biblical theology, they understand the key themes throughout Scripture in a story, song, drama, poetry form, then that's what we ultimately care about. So what we're trying to do is saying, look, don't worry about reading. If you want to learn how to read, God bless you, and we want to encourage you in doing that. But let's not tell you that you've got to read in order to get to this next level of Christianity, for lack of a better term.
We're talking about the encoding of truth here, and in the West, we have been taught this model that literacy is key to everything having to do with economic mobility, status, progress, human progress in general is dependent upon basic hallmarks of health and education. But there is something deeper here about the ability of the human spirit to connect with truth and to communicate it and to encode it in and to decode it for others, that is independent of written language, because there's a deep spiritual language we all speak. We all communicate with each other on an emotional and a vocal level. And those things are almost innate. Like God intended that God intended it to be the first way that we connect with the divine and with each other. And it is very easy for Westerners to get into countries and look down upon educational levels of the local population and just assume that illiteracy means unintelligence or an IQ that's low. And it's incredibly hard to get past that bigotry, if you want to call it that. So,
it's a type of racism.
Yeah, it is.
And we none of us would want to admit that. None of us would ever say, "Oh, that's the way I really feel." But that's the way that we come across. And we're trying to wage war against that. We're really trying to ask ourselves questions. How are we unintentionally impacting these cultures, these people groups that we claim are so critical to be reached for the gospel? And if we are coming in and saying, look, you poor soul, you know, I need to help you, and you're worthy of my sacrifice. No. We need to come in and really see them as God sees these people. And these are people he loves. These are created in his image, and we all have to ask ourselves, what are we doing to make sure we see these people in the image of God and the way he created them? Let's lift them up. Let's encourage them. Let's meet them where they are, rather than say they've got to meet our minimum level of educational standard in order to be human or Christian or whatever term we want to use.
And we certainly don't want to pander to an idea of poverty, as if we're offering a lesser gospel or one that is less impactful. What we're actually asking these people to do is to receive the gospel and learn it in a deeper way, so that even with just your voice, that the truth would be deeply implanted, the truths would be expanded, the knowledge would grow. We're not asking for a half glass commitment to the gospel. You're pursuing people who are willing to go in deep, all the way into the gospel to transform their lives and their communities. Along the way, they're going to learn how to read, and things are going to improve in their communities, but we're going to create a baseline of theology and understanding of truth and community that is far above what many people in cities will ever experience. And from that comes real power. I believe the Holy Spirit really moves when people are connected on that level more than just learning an idea.
Well, I think you're right, Bram. I think that the thing that I think many people think of when they hear the words orality or storing or illiteracy is that what we're doing is watering down the truth of the Word of God. And that couldn't be further from the truth. What I oftentimes use as an analogy is that, when a pastor speaks here in the West on a Sunday morning, certainly he's reading from the scripture, but he is then breaking it apart in pieces that he feels like we're going to better understand the particular passage of scripture he's talking about. He's going to illustrate it. He's going to talk about personal experiences, whether he's had or other people that he knows. And he's going to use some things to illuminate that passage for us. And, you know, so when you really get right down to it, most pastors probably spend, what, maybe 30% of their message on the actual Word of God, and maybe 70% that is, in the way they would say, is illuminating that,
yeah,
or breaking it apart for us to better understand. You know, we're not doing anything different than that when we are communicating via story, song, drama. In fact, we might actually be more accurate, more specific to the Word of God than a pastor on a Sunday morning here in the U.S. would be using it.
It's possible.
And so, you know, it's just, I just try to, that's just part of the educational process. We try to bring people through when they're trying to say, well, what does this really mean? What does storying mean? What does orality mean? It does not mean anything less. If anything, it means more than what we're seeing on a weekly basis here in the U.S.
Our best communicators have always been the greatest storytellers in any culture.
Exactly.
And that's why we love some of our favorite pastors, ones that actually end up on media like this, like in radio. Their capacity to convey a story of real power, rooted in the truth of the gospel, really moves us. And we have some great teachers out there on the radio that are bookending us on many markets. So, you know, around the country, people might hear a great teacher, and then they'll hear Compassion Radio, and then they'll go back to another great teacher throughout the day. That's marvelous, because we're being exposed to the gospel coming at us from many directions, from personal anecdotes, from deep scriptural knowledge. We're being fed throughout the day, even in this media, in this Western culture, with stories that are rooted in Christ.
Right. And we're trying to enable local people in these unreached cultures to have that same opportunity. It may not come across always in a radio format, but it can come across in a way of media distribution that's going to be impactful. It's going to change their lives, and it's going to reach into areas because there's a personal touch to it, because somebody that they know or they've heard of is introducing this information to them. They may have a better opportunity or more of a reason to listen and to engage in a dialogue around that subject matter in a way that we think is going to make an impact and change their lives.
And I want to talk more about how that story is coming to new people and how the people out there are receiving it in these days of challenge, politically, economically, and socially, and spiritually around the world. We're going to need a little more time to do that. Could you stay with us for another segment? I'd love to bring you back for one more program.
Absolutely.
Today on Compassion Radio, we've had a good friend of ours, Ed Weaver of T4 Global International. He's a CEO of an incredible team of orality trainers that are teaching pastors and evangelists around the world how to bring the gospel to those who have never literally heard of Jesus before. And we're going to talk more about the impact that it's having around the world, how the world needs to be impacted, and what we can do about it on tomorrow's program. Thanks for joining us, Ed.
Thank you.
If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, go ahead and check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, would you please consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the encouraging reports Bram brings us from the mission field, both here in the U.S. and abroad. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com, and when you're there, just click on the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478, or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION, COMPASSION, to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks a lot. And thanks for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We are so very thankful for you. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Radio Ministries and your generous financial support.